Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is AFL Round 7 all wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, you got a highlight of the week past?
Well, yeah. The past weekend of footy's been pretty intense and great fun. But for me, the highlight has been how many previously moderately invested Sydney fans now have very strong opinions about goal review.
Isn't that amazing?
And even more so because, look, it was in the first quarter, so a lot of footy left to play.
Yeah.
It was touched. Let's not beat around the bush there. I'm pretty confident they have a strong claim for that. But what outcome are we kind of expecting there? Like,
I mean, we'll get to that when we talk in the game, but do you reckon Newcastle Jets fans are going, mate, just fucking tell us about it? Because the old A-League grand final on the weekend happened to be decided by a ref review that fucked up even worse than that.
Yeah, I think they probably employed the NRL touch review people because they're equally as shit.
But I like that they came out and said, oh yeah, we fucked that up.
Yep.
Like, it's 1-0 in a grand final, mate. Yep. Not that anyone was watching, but yeah, so I reckon Newcastle Jets fans are looking at the Swans fans and going, mate, just calm your farm.
It is kind of funny they did that though. Like, yeah, we fucked that up. So we get the goal back or anything? No, you're still fucked.
Too late.
I mean, it is rough getting Vic Bias in Sydney.
As I say, they've done well. Was it even in Sydney or was it on the Central Coast?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
It was the Central Coast. I say that with no level of authority or confidence.
Exactly.
Didn't know they played on the Central Coast. There you go.
Brenton, you got a highlight.
Well, just a little tidbit while we're talking about Sydney. Do you remember, I think it's Tom Derricks. He used to play for Sydney.
Yep, Tom Derricks. A couple of X's on his name.
Yeah. He's now a DJ and producer.
Of course he is.
Yeah, figured they found that out on Triple J, a little tidbit there. But don't know if he's any good or not, but I'm probably going to find out.
I could
not tell. Someone tell us if he's any good or not.
I do have one more highlight, actually. During the week, Nick Blakey came out and declared for Sydney, you know, other than the father-son and academy rules.
Yeah. Right.
And one of the sticking points around it has been that North has Darren Creswell's two kids in their academy.
Yep.
But they can't touch them because the North Academy only allows for Indigenous kids or international kids.
Yep.
But turns out the Darren Creswell's wife actually has some Aboriginal heritage.
That's handy.
So they're starting to go, how much Aboriginal heritage do we need to qualify? So they've got Ancestry.com on the phone.
So there's a positive 23andMe story.
they're trying to figure out right now.
I'm scared to do that. 23andMe.
I'm scared for a couple of reasons. One, we don't know what you find out. But two, essentially you're handing over your DNA to a company that you've got no idea.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you've learned anything from the Cambridge Analytica, what they're called? Yeah.
Or Black Mirror.
You cannot trust them with even not signing up. You can't trust them just being on the internet. So DNA, I'm not going to give that to no motherfucker. I feel like I'll definitely get framed for something.
Like, I'm waiting for a warrant.
Exactly.
Until I give up DNA.
Listen to way too much Eddie Bravo to start believing that shit.
Yeah.
My other highlight was LeBron hitting two fucking winners to put the Cavs up 3-0 and then clinched it today with a big flogging. I'm like, I swear that LeBron has got to be the second best team in the NBA.
I saw a little bit of it lunchtime today, but the little bit I saw was when he was shooting the fadeaway jumper over the backboard.
Yeah.
And I saw it, I just went, go. Leave.
It's ridiculous.
Why bother? Why bother playing?
Yeah. See, those last few games in this series has been the ones that have really put me in two minds of him versus Jordan.
I look at it at two different eras.
Yeah.
But it does it matter though?
No, no, no.
You get to watch both. Like, how lucky are guys our age that saw Jordan at his best, and now we get to see LeBron at his
best. Wouldn't you have loved to see them compete against each other in their prime, though? Like, very different body types and very different styles, but geez, both brilliant to watch.
I feel like it would have ended in a fight. Still not sure I'd back in that one either.
In the fight,
Well,
Jordan was known as being an absolute arsehole.
Like, yeah, this is true.
He used to fight his own teammates, and he used to win them too. But interesting how it would go. Like, it's one of those things. But without Jordan, you don't have LeBron.
Yeah, that's true. But also, he sort of determined the work ethic of, you know, cutting school to practice kind of thing.
Relentless practice.
Yeah, just utter drilling. Like, I remember, actually, no, Bird really had that too. They were talking about, I think we talked about a while back, about
practice one thing all summer.
Yeah, and even during the Dream Team events, they'd be off fucking about and he'd be shooting, you know, 1,000 shots on the court.
Yeah. He was nuts, Bird.
So, yeah. Still is.
Good on him. Good on the lad.
You know what? My highlight goes to the footy again. I went to a couple of games of the weekend, but Sundays in Melbourne, where they do Kids Get In Free at the MCG in Etihad, and also Kick to Kick on the ground after the game.
Oh, yeah.
So as we went on to the MCG for the Kick to Kick, there's a bloke just in front of me, I'm guessing maybe 50, about that vintage, wearing an old Richmond jumper, you know, the old woolen kind, so there's no sponsors on it or nothing. Look like there used to be a number on the back, but
you can't tell. Not even the Tetley's on the front.
Not even Tetley on the front.
Probably a Jack Dyer's number on there.
Big dirty Mo as well, walking out on the ground. He goes, I'm on the turf. I'm actually on the turf, mate. How good is this? I'm like, mate, it's pretty good, isn't it?
How is Mal Brown these days?
Well, he was a good 6'2", this bloke. A little bit bigger than old Mal. I think Mal's been on the turf once or twice before.
Yeah, this dude's usually on the grass.
But I just thought, like, that's a 50-year-old bloke having the time of his life.
Yeah.
Just because he gets to walk on the MCG.
But I do like how, especially people who are not from a major city centre, you do get that moment.
Yeah.
I've taken mates to the ground, Friday night games especially, when you're walking over the footbridge from Flinders Street or whatever it is, and you see the lights in the distance.
The glow.
And it just, you're walking towards it, and it is a religious experience.
Yep.
I think the best part is when, like, taking someone who's never been to the MCG before, and when you're walking around to go to the gate, and you've got that thin little slit where you can see into how big the stadium's inside, and you see him just go, whoa.
Because it is amazing, isn't it? Because it's an outdoor stadium, but it's so enclosed and indoors. Yeah, that always puzzles me. Like, it's amazing.
I mean, it's the closest to a Colosseum we've got.
Well, that's what it's based on, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, and you can fucking see it too.
But
And we did Etihad the other week, you know, and the kids ran out onto the ground as well. God damn, the lights are terrible. Like,
really?
Yeah. If you're in, let's say, full forward and you're looking out to the wing or into the flank, lights right in your eyes. I'd fucking hate to be going for any of those balls. So that's probably another reason you always talk about, Brenton, about when you play Etihad, you got to go down the middle.
Yeah.
It's probably just easier to see.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point.
Well, they've opened up a full redo of the whole precinct. Like, you know, Channel 7's got their offices there.
Yeah.
But also the whole interior is getting respect as well.
Does that include the lighting? Or?
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Actually, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. But anyway. Yeah,
it is next season's next season's The Block.
Yeah.
That'd be great. So your budget is $400 million.
They reckon the Channel 7 offices there are worth fuck tons.
Of course they are.
Across the road, you know, across the tram tracks and whatnot in the bay where you've got the poles coming out of the ground?
Yep.
Yeah.
Apparently going to put a boardwalk in there and rent that out again as retail.
Fair enough.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So the AFL is going to make money hand over fucking fist.
Oh, as they always do.
Yeah. Well, they very rarely come out second best, even when they do.
All right, let's go to the games. Friday night blockbuster with Geelong and the Giants. More talk was about the umpiring and the reports in this one than the actual game, which is probably fair enough.
Yeah.
Have we had a good Friday night game yet?
Not for a while.
Have we had a good GWS game yet?
Not for a while.
I seriously expected GWS to put up a fight in this one. I think I tipped Geelong. I'm going to claim it now anyway.
Yeah.
But I thought they've had a bit of a rough patch getting some players back. I thought they'd have a fair crack and just got steamrolled.
Yeah, they. I think they had some back that were then laid out.
Yeah.
But they were still missing. Like, and the commentators were going on all night about, look at the outs for GWS. And to be honest, the Cats have got a few outs too.
Yeah.
How many times have we been, at the start of the season, saying GWS are the favourite for the flag?
I said it in the off-season too. Like, I'm not convinced that they know how to win.
I'm putting a line through them.
Even though they've made two prelims.
Yeah, and they got Deledio.
and that's what Delia.
No, I think all it's going to take is, you know, previously there was always the upside. Like, they lost a player or two, and they're like, well, you know, we're still building momentum towards a flag. I don't think they're going to make it. I think they're going to need to not rebuild, but restructure.
But, I mean, yes, I agree, but they're still fifth. But the problem
is... But they've been an insipid fifth.
Well, they tend to bleed players and not get much back. That's been the problem.
Yeah, and they've still got a lot. Yeah. But they're sitting in the stands.
And Josh Kelly won't be there in 2020.
Oh, yeah. Glad you think that. It's good at Dave.
I don't know if he'll be at North, but he won't be there.
It's good to have that kind of optimism. The Giants in this game, too, were going, I think, 45% efficiency by foot.
Jeez, it's fucking terrible.
I've never heard of lower. Heath Shaw was 30-odd.
Wow.
If that isn't a sure sign that this is his last season, then I don't know what is.
Yeah, probably injury lists is the only thing keeping him in there, isn't it?
Yeah, that was abysmal. And, I mean, he's the general down back, you know. He's always meant to be marshalling the troops. And
they definitely got value out of him. I mean, he's...
Of course
they have. Yeah. Played well over, like...
Dual All-Australian.
Yeah. Mm. Always played better than he did at Collingwood.
But once he goes, who's your go-to? Who's your guy that's running the back area? They'll need to trade in for it.
Captain Phil Davis will do me.
Yeah, he'll have to. But
he's off the park a fair bit.
No, he's playing.
I think
he's missed a game this year.
He's had issues with injuries in the past. And hopefully he stays on, because I think he's a great player.
Well, yeah. Just a lot of times he can be a better free-running player. But, I mean, they got... Obviously, they don't have the depth they'd like to have in key positions, because that's what's killing them at the moment.
Mm. But, especially the ruck.
Yeah, yeah. And Geelong just had a... I don't know. Like, they just turned it on again. They've been a bit up and down this season. Not winning games where I thought they should have. Not putting performances when they should have.
Well,
really stepped up.
I think they were embarrassed last week when they lost to one quarter of Sydney.
Yeah.
They lost to. So they had to make amends for this one. Tommy Hawkins is starting to look good, but then put his hand on an umpire.
Some of that. Yeah.
Puzzling.
Yeah, that's... He deserves a week for being dumb.
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's one of those ones where, look, I'll grant he didn't mean to hurt the umpire, or...
Well, he didn't hurt the umpire.
Gesture, or... Yeah. Like, he didn't mean to cause offence, but it's like...
You grabbed an umpire.
Yeah, like, the ump wasn't in his face enough to justify it, if you know what I mean. Like, when we've seen, you know, the Magic Moments ones where you've got umpires forehead to forehead.
You've been headbutted.
And you're like, maybe you deserve to be told to back off. But that was just... It was a nothing thing, and then he's... sort of grabbed the hand and pushed it back, and I'm like, look, I think the example you need to set in this is always to penalise that.
Yeah,
it sucks.
I like the new tribunal way too, where they've started plea bargaining.
Have they?
Well, Tommy, they had a chat to, you know, the AFL basically in the foyer of the tribunal,
right,
and said, mate, it's worth 1 week, isn't it? I'm like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
So they go in and say, I've pled guilty to 1 week, and then the tribunal has to rubber stamp it.
Okay. It sounds like an episode of Porn Stars.
A little bit.
Let me call a buddy. He says it's worth 2 weeks. Oh, let's see, I can go one max.
Yeah. Shut up, Greg Williams. He said it's worth 9.
So you're the first person to plead the fifth. Do we have a Fifth Amendment? Is that a rule in Australia?
We don't have amendments, I don't think.
No. Do we sort of incriminate yourself?
I think we had an amendment to let New Zealand be a state if they wanted to, and there was another amendment to say we had to translate half of it into English from... old English or some shit. But other than that, I think it's pretty much, you know, no one really pulls out a constitution unless anyone's curious.
No one cares, really, let's be honest. They just look good on the table.
I think they pulled it out and just said, don't be a cunt. And the pollies went, fuck that.
But anyway, four goals.
Let's amend that.
4 goals for a game isn't too good for the Giants. And they
Jesus Christ, no.
They deserved all the scrutiny that they got from it.
Well, who wears that the most, though? Because to me, Coach. Their list, brilliant.
Coach.
It has to be.
Leon Cameron's got to. But like I said, they're still fifth.
Yeah, they've still got hope. But I mean, it's not good hope. Because I feel like there's been that many upsets. And it's the season that we wanted, but not the one we expected, if that makes sense. Where anyone can beat anyone on their given day and have.
Well, I've got a theory you like all teams to rise to the same level. But I think they have fallen to the same level a little bit.
Yep.
Well, I think a couple of standouts.
I think part of that's tactical too. Because right now... congestion in the centre-half back area has been the most popular way of playing footy.
It's been run by defence, hasn't it?
Yeah, which, if you've got run-off half-back, it works. But for teams that don't seem to have that link-up play, or, you know, ridiculous efforts like Basher Hooley's on the weekend, getting it back out of your own back line can be ugly as fuck.
Yeah. All right, on to the next game where the Dogs accounted for the Suns. Gave a little scare.
Yeah, made them earn it.
In Ballarat. Geez, the Suns have done some fucking travelling. But at the end of the day, I think the way the Dogs are travelling, they don't care how they win as long as they do.
Yeah, it's unconvincing, I think is the term. But 11-15, that's pretty poor a return. But it is a true outdoor stadium.
With minimal stands.
Yeah.
With the Dogs just having a tumultuous season so far, they've had one standout in Jack McRae. I think he's been consistent the whole year.
Killing it.
Put his hand up.
We've got 40 touches here, which is fucking great return. 40 touches, but last few weeks, 5 marks, 8 tackles.
Yeah, last few weeks he's been putting in, even when there's other teammates around him that haven't been in consistent form, he's been that one sort of rock that they can rely on. Mm-hmm. So is he in their leadership group?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, surely.
Well, I think Libba stepped down from the leadership group a while back.
I don't think Libba was ever asked to be the leadership group. Took it as, you know...
I think he turned up a few times and they're like, you right?
Yeah, people followed him just to see what the fuck he's going to do.
It was good for McRae and Lachie Hunter had a good one as well because...
Lachie Hunter's had a couple of good ones this year. I sort of wrote him off.
Especially since Bont was a laid out.
Yep.
So you need your other stars to stand up, and they're both clearly stars.
Young Luke Dowhouse has put together a few good games too, and he's one of the ones that hasn't signed yet for next year.
Hasn't he?
Hasn't he really?
No.
Isn't it interesting that a North Melbourne supporter is looking at who's signed and who hasn't?
I am across this. Don't you fucking... Ollie Wines is still on my list.
We're going to fucking get one this year, I swear.
As long as... I'm still not sold on DeGoey. I'm not a fan.
Oh, okay. We'll get to that.
He had a great game.
But listen to you talk about North Melbourne getting players. It reminds you of Joe Rogan talking about elk hunting. Sometimes you just don't get anything. You go out there, it's hard work, you know.
But it's a great... Sleep. That's the best time.
Exactly. That's what it's all about.
I've got $1 million checks in my pocket.
I reckon North Melbourne recruiting simulator coming to Steam in the off season.
I'll fucking get on that actually.
It's just recruiting. You don't play. Just recruiting. Yep. Making offers. That's why you're interested in porn stars.
Fucking hell. We need a negotiator like that.
But, I mean, when the game was on the line of the last, the Doggies have still managed something like 12 scoring shots in the final quarter.
Yeah.
Just most of them, just a little bit wide, that's all.
Yeah, they were. They could have really put it to Gold Coast in that last quarter. And, I mean, obviously they didn't let it off the hook because they won. But still, that's not convincing fourth quarter that you'd want in a close game like that because it's not always going to be against someone like the Suns.
But at least they're locking it in, you know. Yep. They're when everyone's tired, you got to... Keep to your structures and all those, you know, bullshit cliches that they say.
Yep.
Take it 1 week at a time.
And they managed it. So, anyway, that's another win for the Bullies and they'll be happy with it.
Yeah. Lin Jong didn't manage to get on TV by getting smashed in the face again, which is good.
No, it's a shame for his Instagram likes, though. You know, true. Because that was keeping him afloat.
All the talk was about Gold Coast losing fucking...
Tommy Lynch.
Tommy Lynch, yeah.
Big Tommy Lynch.
Yeah. What do you think about that one, Josh?
He's done himself out of 100 grand. I don't want Tommy Lynch. We've got Ben Brown. We're fine.
I'm going to say, we talk of like Tiger's second in line. I'm like, I just don't want to hurt Jack's feelings.
Well, I did see Alex Rance put the shit kibosh on it, just saying, we don't want to have a new bloke in and ruin our culture. Oh, so what if he does turn up?
Yeah. Don't worry about ruining our culture. We're about ruining our fucking bank accounts. I've got a flag next to my name. I would have had a couple of fucking zeros too.
He'd probably be the highest paid bloke there, surely.
Dusty Martin might have got him. I think he might have
pipped him.
Oh, yeah. In the last contract review. Yeah,
yeah, might have just pipped him out, seeing as he's the highest.
Shakes him down in the car park, steals his lunch money.
Entirely possible.
Even if he's not the highest paid, he's still the highest. He takes home the most.
His security services are second to none, I'm going to be honest.
It reminds me of way back when the Footy Show was the best, when Trevor Marmalade was behind the bar.
Yeah.
And they had Chopper Reed once, and they were talking about him. He goes, I bought one of Chopper's paintings. Cost me $50 a week. He'll tell me when it finishes.
And then he apologised for the joke.
I think he did, actually.
Yeah, because you always do.
You always got to. All right. MCG, Saturday Arvo, Hawthorn Essendon, classic rivals. It's fair to say that the story coming out of this game was how bad are Essendon.
Yep.
I think it's kind of justified too, to be honest.
Oh, that was terrible. Terrible. And like talking about how the congestion starts at your sort of half back line, Essendon just repeatedly, they played a loose man in defence. I don't know if anyone told them that means the Hawthorn have a loose man in defence as well. Well, they just bombed it, and Hawthorn just took massive intercept marks.
They had 40 handballs before they bombed it.
This is true, yeah.
They fucking made sure. It's amazing to watch it at the ground.
Yeah.
Because you look at, you go, all right, they're out on the far side. Handball, 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 handball. Yep. Now let's come back this side.
Yep.
Like, guys, this is awful to watch. This is terrible. Something has to change because it's been that way for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and it's not looking to get better. Like, they're imploding.
Well, I think the start of the season, you guys both had them in the top eight. I had them ninth. I reckon we all overestimated
them. We're all overs.
Yep, yep.
Because the way they're playing and the way they're trying to set up, I don't see it. It
looks terrible.
I don't see it doing shit. And I think that's where... I think they have Carlton next week. I think Carlton will get him.
And their handballs around in the back line to targets that are standing still.
Yeah.
Yeah, it frustrates the fuck out of me.
Just passing the buck.
What's even worse was there was one stage where... Hurley is blind kicking long out of the back line and getting Bronx cheers for it.
Yeah, I did. I heard that a long time.
It's falling into the
lap
of Ben Stratton or whoever.
They didn't care.
But they don't care.
As long as they're kicking.
And then there was Ahmed Saad actually once tried to break through and got caught hold of the ball. And you know, I was obviously fucking ecstatic.
Yeah.
But as watching it, you go, that's such a shame because that's what you should be doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Handballing and somebody running.
Speaking of breaking through... You haven't mentioned this yet, but I'm sure you're building up to it. Young McAvoy, his running goal.
No?
No?
Didn't see one.
Didn't see one? He had a great one.
McAvoy?
Segler?
Do you want to change?
Can I phone a friend?
Do you want Isaac Smith? Or do you want Roughhead?
No, I thought it was McAvoy. Oh, maybe I was wrong.
All right, tell me about this goal, because I'm interested, because I didn't see it.
No, just big fella breaking through. But the other great goal was Sicily.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll work on that one.
McAvoy is 0 goals, 1 for the game. So,
all right, he had a great point.
It was a pretty fucking good point.
Must have been a point.
It was a nice mark because actually, on McAvoy, he was getting dished up by Bell Chambers. Bell Chambers was best on ground at halftime by an absolute country mile.
Yeah.
But since you mentioned James Sicily, I thought the 50 meters was a bit unlucky. But as soon as he got the ball, you're like, he's going to have a fucking shot here.
Yeah.
He kicked it from the center square. I'm telling you, it was just about goalpost height when it went through.
Shit. Jesus.
He took it easy.
He did well.
I loved the mongrel about Sicily in that game too.
Oh, it was more than mongrel. It was a pure cunt. When he's going to get high fives from his mates, and then from Danaher.
Low five from Danaher.
Yeah.
I loved it. Yeah. That's exactly what you want from him. Like, when you know he's doing that kind of stuff rather than walking over cunts, you're like, he's on.
That's beautiful. And especially with a full forward like Danaher, who has talent, but plays on confidence so much.
And at that stage, you've outscored him.
Yeah.
You can get into him. You know Sicily's into him. You're like, mate, oh, that was a great goal, wasn't it? Oh, it was fucking fantastic. Look, I'll let you know how to kick goals. Like, you probably don't know about this, but there's a little bit of a trick to it. And he would not have shut up.
Oh, I guarantee it. There would have been Hawthorn at players going, mate, can you shut your fucking
mouth? So his evolution as a backman is complete, I think we can say.
Well, he's done a few things like this before.
Yeah.
Never after bombing a 65-70 meter goal.
The funny thing was, there were a few people I noticed in the Reddit match thread and everything that thought he might get reported for unsportsmanship and polite behaviour.
Fuck off.
I actually thought they probably would have had the report sheet pre-filled before the game.
Just waiting.
Just because every game I've watched, and even with the North one, I thought, of all the reports out of this game, he's managed to miss. He's managed to get past. Nope. On the replay, it turns out he was.
Every Monday when they do the match review panel.
Yep.
Control left Sicily. No, okay, good job.
Well, that's it. He just keeps coming up in autocomplete for the form.
I think he's just got control C, control V.
It's not about it. The stupid thing about this is Essendon kicked 4 goals in the first quarter, and I thought they were still sloppy. Like, they were fumbling it, but it happened to fumble their way, and that's how they got through for the goals. So, Sicily and Isaac Smith, I thought, were the only real standouts because it wasn't a good game.
I mean, it wasn't great, but I thought there were enough Hawthorn contributors that. I mean, Yago Mira's definitely solidified what he's done now. Also, I thought Jurea didn't play too bad as well. So he had some solid moments.
And Jarman Impey as well. Like, he's one of those ones that only had a couple of touches, but he's in that almost Rioli role.
Well, he actually got some good touches. I think I might have caught holding the ball once or something.
Mm. Or
could have. Give him a free kick. But he was definitely putting in the effort.
Yeah. He's got that burst of speed, and that's what he's there for. Yeah.
That first step.
Yeah. Jeez, he's got some strength about him too. That was the other main difference, I think, the problem with Essendon is, one, they don't shepherd. Two, they can't tackle for shit.
See, that's one thing I find incredibly frustrating, is that the lack of shepherds in AFL footy.
Especially if you're doing so much handballing. There must be blokes around you, handball and shepherd.
Yeah.
Like, it's that simple. And put a body in the way.
It's not a skill move. It's just, all right, I'm in the way.
I have a body.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be fancy, but so many times you see people handball and then nothing. And they just stop.
There's going to be so many people that are starting to lose patience with Essendon players.
Yeah. Essendon aren't the worst for it, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Every team does it.
And the thing is, the more you put a body on a player, like you wear them down over the course of a game. Yep. Like you have to keep on doing it. Make it hard for them to get off the turf, keep on putting a body on them.
And it's frustrating as fuck. Yeah. If you're trying to chase down the ball carrier and there's this bloke who just won't get out of your way, half the time you end up getting pissed off and do something stupid, or you get more pissed off and belt them, and you end up giving away free kicks.
Yeah, and I think they've lost Danaher for a few weeks as well. He's got osteitis pubis.
Yeah, which has come back in vogue, hasn't it?
Hasn't it? Yeah, it's come back. I don't know what...
I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago.
A bit of a time warp.
It's a bit of stem cells, I reckon. I don't know if that helps, but it helped everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, alpha brain.
I think they'll be better off because of it. I think they need to really open up that forward line, have someone else sort of be the...
Well, he's not kicking goals.
Yeah, 100% agree.
They'll need... Orazio or Green back, and I think Orazio is just about ready.
I hope so.
I still like seeing Essendon get flogged.
Yeah, me too.
but besides that, I mean, that means Stewart's got to stand up more, or they might even run Leuenberger as a full forward.
Yeah, because string out average game, that's the team that he should do pretty well against.
Terrible. Essendon getting flogged is the reason why I like watching Channel 7 News. Just seeing Tim Watson explain it, it's fucking fantastic.
Yeah. All right, on to the West Coast Eagles, which took care of Port Adelaide very easily. We're recording this Tuesday night, so we don't know the results of Nick Nat at the tribunal yet, but...
it's been pushed back again.
Surely he's got to get off.
Well, like, I think so.
Especially, like, it was a good tackle. It was just that whoever he was tackling didn't let go of the ball to brace for the fall. He just said, nah, I'm holding on the ball and I'm eating the dirt.
It was a free kick. Like, on replay, you go, oh, yeah, he's kind of in the back there. Fair enough, but I didn't see the report.
No. At the absolute max, you could maybe say he was a bit rough, but this is a game for all body types.
Yeah.
And you can't penalise a bloke just because he's massive.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great tackle.
I say that knowing that Bruce is going to come in at some stage of shit, so I fucking hope they don't.
Technically, it's a free kick, but I don't think it should be. I think that's like a great tackle. When we were talking to Malcolm Bangs, who does tackling coaching for fucking everyone these days.
Yeah, he does do it for everyone, which I think is just called Bangs, Get Your Tackle On.
Get Your Tackle On, yeah.
Well, it's Zenith Sports, but...
It used to be.
He's changed it over now. Yeah, but he was saying, like, physiologically, is that the right word?
Sure.
Like, that's better for you for
falling forward.
Protection of your back.
Yeah.
Because they're actually tackling you around the waist.
Knees. He said better for your knees, too.
Better for your knees, right. Yeah.
Well, also...
Yeah, rather than having a twist when you're
tackling. I've said it before. I want holding the ball to trump pushing the back.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think a push in the back has to be a push.
Yeah.
Like, if someone's falling down and you happen to be wrapped around them behind them, you're not adding to their momentum.
Yeah.
Your body weight is.
I can see what you mean. Yeah.
But, and I think, too, we see so many players, you know, buckle the knees.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's what happened here. It might have.
He just didn't let go of the ball. He would have been fine if he was braced himself, but...
Yeah. No. Maybe they need to learn to break ball. But I do think you need to reward tacklers more than we are now. And the fact that this was reported and it got a week, I'm not a fan.
I think it's very silly.
And I think you need to be able to reward good tackling.
Yeah.
There have been some ideas about having a team disposal option rather than an individual. I think that's making it a bit too fucking complex.
I think
just reward a good tackle. Sometimes there's nothing a ball carrier can do.
Sometimes you get hurt.
I think if Nick Nat gets left off, like gets let off, then the punishment for the umpire should be to go like be the referee for Brent Harvey's next game.
Well, it should be like permanent. To be fair, it wasn't the umpire that reported him; it was Michael Christian.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, and he's come out and backed his.
He's doubled down.
But this could be 2 weeks in a row that he has one of his reports overturned at the tribunal.
Yeah, it's got to...
Should be interesting.
This is almost Shane Watson-esque.
Watto.
I like it.
I think we should call him Watto now.
Watto. Yep. if it gets done tomorrow night, he is Watto. This was a breakout game for Willy Rioli, though. Didn't he provide some highlights?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Certainly did.
Like, always threatening it, really.
Well, I mean, he's a Rioli. But I think this
I say that genetically. He was genetically always threatening it.
Yeah. I think this is another good case for, you know, there's been a lot of talk and stories during the week about the compromise the draft is now.
Yeah.
You know, with the academies up north or the Indigenous academies and father-son picks and bidding and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Willy Rioli played a couple of seasons in the Sandville, you know. So there is, I think, a greater case for looking at state leagues now.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's been building that way for a couple of years.
And recruiting footballers.
Fucking oath.
I think you see the talent pool expand that way as well because you're like iron sharpens iron, all that shit. That's what they say, steel or steel.
And also just getting used to men. Because a lot of the under-18s you get coming through have never played against...
a grown man.
Yeah, a grown man, yeah. And they've never been cheap-shotted, like, behind the flag.
I was about to say, they've never been lined up by a 40-year-old plumber.
Oh, well, we've all been there.
I think we all have, yep.
Yep.
We got KO'd once, actually.
I remember getting hit once with a shirt front so bad that snot literally flew out of my nose.
I used to get lined up on the basketball court more than the football court.
Football court.
Yeah.
Football.
How much did you get lined up? I'm going to get lined up so bad that the fullback actually held the bloke over a mine shaft. <next week. laughs> That's he said, don't do that again. Shit. And so he retired.
Yeah. Anyway, 16-6 is a very good turnout. Goal kicking this weekend was actually pretty good after being ordinary a few weeks. But better in some other games.
Not in the next game.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah.
Kennedy bang four.
Yeah.
What's that put him in the...
He missed it. I think he's only played three games.
Yeah, right. He's still pretty far down.
But
I've been paying attention to that too.
But with the Eagles absolutely flying at the minute, I mean, they're sitting second.
Yeah.
They've looking good. Played some decent teams too, mind you.
Yeah.
So their only loss was round one, Sydney at home. And really, they lost to Buddy.
Yeah, for sure. But I think Jack Redden's been the standout pickup for them.
Last couple of weeks, he has.
Been amazing.
It's really funny. I remember somebody saying how ordinary he's been since he crossed over to West Coast Eagles. Yeah. And almost instantly, he's come
turned
back.
It on.
I think he got 10 in the coaches' votes last week and picked up a few more this week. So he's having a bit of a blinder.
Yeah, yeah.
Darling's starting to come good too.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Once it comes to September, you can...
I want him to be good. For whatever reason, I just feel like every team has their...
whipping boy?
Their whipping boy. Yeah. I feel like he's theirs and I kind of want to see him do well.
Yeah, but still, then you lose the memes.
Yeah, but I mean, he didn't play a good at least one game a season, otherwise they're gone next year. Like, even Jack Watts didn't fuck up too bad this game, so, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
That's him back in contention.
But Luke Shuey pulling a hammy in the first fucking minute.
Yeah.
I've never seen that happen before, somebody pull a hammy in the first minute.
Cousins.
No, that was the first quarter.
First quarter, huh? Right, there you go.
Might have been.
No, who was it a couple of years back at the Richmond opening match? It was Deledio, wasn't it?
No, I was pretty sure it was Cousins. Oh, no, somebody got knocked out in the first 10 seconds.
Yeah, was it Delidio or Cochin?
No, it was a Carlton player. And I got a feeling it was like Murphy or Thomas.
Oh, yeah,
that's someone got reported. Yeah. No, Cochin got reported in the first 10 seconds.
In the first 10 seconds, yeah.
Yeah, I think I mean Thomas. Well, I can't remember anyway.
It was a couple of years ago, but yeah.
Funny. You don't get ripped out for knocking Thomas out.
It was Mil Hannah.
So anyway, they got the Miss Shuey, but obviously, you know, you lose him in the first minute, so you're down... a rotation the entire day, and you've come out 7-goal winners.
Yeah, well, Hutchins stepped up in the absence. As 10 tackles, 27 buzzies.
It was a good day.
Yeah.
How do you rate them, though? Like, because I'm finding two groups of people. People who are like, well, you know, it's only round seven, which generally, Freo supporters, and people who are like, seem real deal.
If the grand final is played tomorrow, it'll be Richmond versus West Coast or Adelaide for me. They're sitting second on the ladder. They're a genuine top four. I'll be very surprised if they don't make top four by the end of the year.
Yep. Yeah, fair call. Definitely.
They've played some decent sides.
Well, they need to win another eight or so matches.
Yeah, well, that guarantees them, but that's a lot.
Yep.
It is a lot, but we've got, 15 rounds left?
But everyone's saying about how awful the surface is in... WA, but I mean, they lost Shuey in the first minute. You can't blame that. But, you know, that might be the deciding factor.
Well, you can have a minute running on Lego and still be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, it's pretty good home ground advantage if you can get used to that surface and everyone else just breaks down.
Comes over and goes, oh, fuck, this is hurt.
Yeah.
Do you think they're the ones that are spreading that rumor? Just so that when teams come, they're like, oh, better be careful.
Better rest if they are, I love them for it.
Yeah.
Great. Good on them.
So who was it talking about playing at the Boston Garden where they knew that? Because it's a jigsaw put together, that floor. But they knew that one corner piece would stick up a bit too much.
Yep.
And so as soon as someone would start going down that side, they'd know to try and trap him. So they'd bounce it, and then the ball would go out of bounds.
It was in Jason Williams' book.
It was too,
All Balls.
Yeah.
All right, so Brent and I go for a break. Swans versus North.
It's funny that 9-14 is a winning score. Like, let's be honest, goal kicking here was not great.
If I gave you blind and said 9-14 was the winning score, who were the teams playing? Sydney would be one of your guesses.
Yeah. I mean.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The way Sydney play, they always congest the back line. So to offset that, North had an open centre-half back, but a congested full-back area, and then managed to open up the wings and use a fair bit of pace. Like Billy Hartung, massive goal on the lad.
Yeah, yeah. Now, obviously, like you said at the start, a lot of people are focusing on the goal review. I got no problem with it because they followed the rules and, you know, the timing. Yeah. I think the AFL coming out and saying, oh, no, there was it wasn't enough evidence. I mean, like, we're all certain McVay touched it.
Yeah.
But an absolute feather, if there weren't goal reviews, that's a goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every
yeah.
day of the week. Watching live, you go, yeah, that's a goal.
Yeah.
So I've got no problem if it's an absolute fingertipper that, you know, got through.
Yeah.
It's the ones that hit the post and yeah. we go, okay, you've missed that
yeah.
one.
Well,
like, it's for there for the howlers.
I think they need Hawkeye. So you can show where it goes and then, or a deviated.
I don't want the game to stop for 5 minutes and go, yeah. you know what, that was touch.
So that's one of the things that happened too. That. Like, how often do you see them do review and you're like, oh, fucking come on. And then it's like, nah. And everyone's like, can we speed this up? And then they do speed it up.
Yeah.
They do speed it up. They're going to get it wrong occasionally.
And Sydney go, hang the fuck on.
Yeah. yeah. Plus, first quarter.
Yeah, there's a lot of game to go. And let's say it's touch. You don't know if that turns into a 7-point play. You know, a butterfly flaps its wings.
Well, considering three of our goals came from kickouts from yeah. Sydney, one of them from Sinclair, who was having a blinder of a game,
wasn't he?
Somehow picked out, I think it was Mason Wood, even. Or it might have been Ben Cunnington. I think Rampy kicked to Cunnington once. And it was just one of those ones where you see the player go, fuck, all right.
Yeah, I remember the Sinclair one. He's like, mate, what are you doing?
Because I can't remember who was commentating, but they were pumping him up, saying he's having a blinder, and all of a sudden it's like, boop.
That's where it goes.
Yeah, Jesus.
Mason Wood probably had the best game of his career.
Well, a big part of that was obviously North.
One he's playing.
Yeah, North. That does help. Kick six in the VFL. You're kind of going to give that a run, don't you? But North have been Ben Brown centric for a bit because
he's working.
He's decent.
Yeah.
So what they were doing, Rampy was playing on Brown, and then I can't remember who it was coming back and double teaming or filling in the gap of where Brown was leading to.
Yep.
But he was playing on Wood. So yep. Wood's like, well,
probably,
fuck it.
Probably Grundy.
I might. It was Grundy, actually. I might run over here be an option.
I might run to space.
Yeah.
Yep. Good idea.
And it worked pretty well, I'd say.
It's a good catch on.
Yeah. You know, because one of the criticisms I have had of Mason Wood is when he does play, he decides that, no, I'm the full forward. I'm going to stand right next to Ben Brown, which is exactly what Mad Jack Dore did in the forward line as well. But now he seems to have gone, all right. If he's running that way, maybe... I'll run this way. And you know what, lad?
I'll outsmart these guys.
On that, Magic didn't play. Was he injured or was that coach's decision?
He had a bit of hamstring tightness, apparently.
Yeah, right.
I did kind of fuck up during the week about Madge because I pumped him up because he's, as a backman, he's doing really well. So I said he's turned into a very useful backman. Unfortunately, my phone auto-corrects. Doesn't recognise backman as a word.
Oh, does it?
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Does recognise yep. black man.
Yep. Okay.
So saying he's a useful black man and well worth the money.
Now, where did you say this?
On Reddit. And then someone's just underneath gone, useful black man? Oh, fuck. Nope, I'm ninja editing that shit. I don't give a fuck.
Yep.
So, yeah, I did that. Oops. And sorry, Madge, because you could fucking kill me.
Yep.
But Mason Wood with that, the game-winning goal, a big part of that...
Was not be to be denied, was it?
Yeah.
Well, a big part of that we talked about earlier with Shepherds, young Zerha yep. put on a beautiful Shepherd.
Just put his body in the right spot.
And for a young lad who's playing in maybe his fifth match or some shit, great move. And yep. Mason to do the step around, break the tackle, and then sink the boot in, put it through.
Well, I mean, have a right boot, but... I thought he was. I thought he was cooked. I thought, nah, he has got a right boot. Needs to get on that left, and I thought he'd gone. one step too far. But no, brushed off the tackle.
Some days it's just your day, and that was his. Although when the ball came back and
Papley
got it behind, it should have been a goal. He should have put that through.
Oh, it's not an easy shot from there, but that's what you're paid to do.
But even with that, they still had, I think, about a minute left after the behind.
Yeah, and then it was just locked in. We're parking the bus.
Yeah.
Jeez, this was going nowhere.
There was fucking tension in the heart rate, I'll tell you that much.
Of course there was. But it wasn't a greatly skilled game. I think somebody said for the agnostic, for the neutrals, it wasn't a great game. But
people say that about every game where their team doesn't compete. Like, we talk about not skilled game, but how many end-to-end goals were there? Yeah, there was about six.
We're getting to one later on. Anyway. So that was a great week. Sydney are 1-3 at home this season.
Really? Wow.
And the one was GWS. So, interesting. But I think that's their first 7 weeks was their hardest 7 weeks. So they've got some good times coming.
Yeah. Well, they're lucky in the fact that they've got kids coming through that are ready to play. And they can ease out their aging midfield.
What is Hayward going to be? Like, we talk about Buddy being a phenomenal talent, but Hayward...
Lovely looking lady.
He's looking all right.
Looks like such a nerd.
He does.
But he had a good game.
He looks pretty happy that the AFL is doing League of Legends soon.
Yeah. On to the other Saturday night game. Crows did what they'd liked a bit against Carlton. But Carlton, I think, showed something.
Carlton scored 10 goals.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good effort by Carlton, actually.
I don't think they get
honestly, 10. Six more than I thought they would.
Yeah, I don't think they'd have 10 scoring shots.
Although there was one of the... In a season where we've had the worst misses of all time,
yeah,
I think Casbolt did everything possible to put himself on that list.
Yeah, there's a few shockers,
when you're a bloke his size and you're one out marking the goal square, you'd probably back yourself, and then to bring it to ground, you'd probably back yourself to pick the ball up, and then probably back yourself to maybe tap it to a mate, and then probably back yourself to maybe try and have a shot at goal, but instead it's a turnover and out it goes.
Yeah, way it goes.
He was just lucky he was in front of like the opposition fans instead of his own, because they would have fucking murdered him. Well, I don't know if he can say that.
He went home with a broken rib, the poor lad, too, so he's going to be out for a fair while.
Yeah, was he crossing the bridge in the casino and someone touched him up?
No, unfortunately.
It was the blokes that bet on the game.
I thought it was weird they sent him off to hospital as a precaution, and guess it's kind of lucky they did. Because when a bloke that big says, oh, I got trouble breathing, you go, you know what, we might take this serious.
Yeah, yep.
Well, especially when the game's not on the line.
No, or the season.
No.
Yeah.
Let's face it, they're done. But it was, they've had horrible losses, and this wasn't as horrible, even though it's still a, what, 9-goal loss.
Yeah.
Well, particularly when Brisbane showed something this week. So I look at...
Good to Brisbane.
Who do I think is having the worst season? There's no one worse than Carlton at the moment.
Yeah, but this was at least... up.
Yeah.
It was up on their last month. It's been terrible.
To be fair, they do have a shit ton of injuries, but, you know.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you've got players out there. But, I mean, they've got something from McKay and the other tall lad. I've forgotten his name. They're starting to show, okay, you know what? They're tall Goombas at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to be exactly. good. Even Kurnow. Tall fella, but still pretty young.
Yeah.
Great kick from goal square sometimes.
Sometimes. not this week.
Did anyone look at... I saw lots of controversy coming over about Tex Walker on the radio. They give him a fake interview with Brandon Flowers from the Killers. Looked like someone to give a fuck about, but anyone actually read what was going on with that? Is it worth it?
Yeah, yeah. No, not really.
No, it was bullshit.
It was just someone pretended to be him and sort of started insulting him, saying, you know, are you a footy player? I don't really like sportsmen. And just, you know, mild insults, and Tex is just kind of playing it off.
Yeah.
And then they kind of... switched to his manager, which was Chris Dittmar.
Sure.
And he said, you're a fuckhead, Dittmar. And that was kind of it. I mean, you've outsmarted Tex Walker for 5 minutes. Fuck me.
Yeah.
Great.
Put that on your wall.
Not worth knowing about then.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, no.
Great bounce.
Honestly, nah. It's nothing.
Anyway, Eddie Betts was back and he kicked, what did he kick? A couple? A pretty nice one early on.
He got two.
Bryce Gibbs had a good one against his old club. But big Mitch McGovern. At his best game of his career.
Yeah, 5-3.
Had it on a fucking string, he did. And the old sticky hands. Took it one good mark and thought, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it one, do a spin on the bloke's back.
What do they call him? The gecko?
The gecko. Yeah, good hands.
Start calling him.
What chance do you reckon of getting the other McGovern back there?
A fair chance, I reckon.
Because that would mean they've got the McGoverns, they've got the...
Crouches.
Crouches. And how many other brothers are running around at the moment?
I don't know. Well, there's two Tom Lynches. They're not brothers, but they've got a chance.
That'll do. We'll just make them brothers.
Yeah.
There's McKay's around. Different McKay's, but fuck it.
Yeah.
Get them in there.
They don't tell you, brothers.
Maybe they can sort that out.
They dodged that bullet, yeah. Rory Laird also had another 30 touches. I'm telling you, smoky for the Brownlow.
Yeah. Honestly, he is massively underrated for the Brownlow.
Yeah. He's playing that, designated kicker a little bit.
Yeah.
I can see him picking up a lot of two votes.
Yeah.
Because generally midfielders get all the votes. And once Rory Sloan comes back, which I think he's back next week, he'll get more. But I can see him picking up a lot of two votes.
But the thing is, too, you only need, 30 votes to be guaranteed a Brownlow?
Well,
15 two votes.
I think there's two people that have got 30 votes and haven't won before.
Yeah.
That's
very rare.
Yeah, exactly.
McKernan.
Poor fucker. I think he's a value bet.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. I still think Fife's favourite, obviously.
Yeah,
but
Fife and Martin are the two guys that they're always talking about.
Yeah,
and you know you'll probably get a couple of bucks return on it, but he'd be the one where you're thinking this is a value bet here.
Yeah, that's what I think he is. All right, that'll do us to that one.
With a place bet
on Sunday, the Tigers took care of the Dockers, 15-20. But I think that was just because the ball was camped in their forward half.
Yeah, I mean, we just pumped up Fife, and to be honest, that was a brilliant game from him,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
except for the fact that his disposal efficiency was shit because he kept getting pressured. But he had three players on him sometimes,
and he had nobody to bloody kick to. This was, I think, one of the dumbest coached games I've ever seen because Sandy killed it in the ruck.
Yeah.
Fife was, he had, at quarter time, clearances were 10-0.
Yep.
Lockie Neal had it on a string, yet the Freo played one or two loose men in defence.
Yep.
So they're winning all the clearances and kicking to Asterbury.
Oh, just no confidence from the coach. And I feel like he's got some other things on his mind, maybe.
I'll completely say Ross Lyon knows more about footy than I do, but I don't fucking understand what he's doing.
Yeah, you got way better game than him, though.
How can you dominate centre clearances and only kick four goals for the entire fucking game?
Yeah. How can you have a 7-foot fucking ruckman and not hit it to one of the best midfielders of all time?
He was toweling up Nankervis. Nankervis had to try and run around the ground just to get a kick and did all right, mind you. I think he kicked a nice goal from 50.
Mm.
But when it came to the stoppages, and God knows they were good enough at causing enough of them, I've never seen such a dominant force around the midfield. And they got spanked everywhere else.
Pumped. Yeah.
But it was just pressure.
It looked awful.
And I mentioned earlier, Basher Hooley's move.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
How did that not get in goals of the week? Plays of the week?
It did. Yeah, it got it
in. Our player of the week.
In the 10?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was in there.
You sure?
Yeah.
I thought they had the other one from that game. But anyway, it was a brilliant move.
Yep.
And just his amount of hassle. We've criticised him before for blast kicking from the back line.
Yeah.
But no one has ever criticised the fact that he wants the ball and wants to be involved in the play.
He's so much better now. He is such an improved player ever since he stopped running backwards to receive handballs.
Yeah.
Which, is one of the things I fucking hate.
He's hard to dislike, Basher. At least, in my opinion. I think he's a great player.
I think he's been well. Tomorrow.
The Prime Minister told me.
Yeah.
Walid Ali told me. Yeah.
I think one of the, probably not underrated now, but pushing for top three of our best and fairest would be Kane Lambert, who's been having a standout season. Just one of those little guys that keeps on going. Keeps on popping up everywhere.
Into the goals, doesn't he?
I think you're selling Snag short.
All around. Oh, Snags. maybe give him a couple more. Also, Sam Lloyd, late inclusion for Koch, who sat out this game. I thought he did a good show on himself, being a more midfield role. A bit more confidence, more kicks this time instead of just handball.
And still had his goal sense on.
Yeah, that's it.
Which I think it would be a shame if he lost that.
Yeah.
That's what he's best at.
Yeah, that's it. I think he needs to be still doing what he's doing, but for the... Obviously, he didn't play last week before.
Mm.
He was just a little bit too unselfish. But, I mean, he's got a very good goal sense, and that's what he does. So.
He'd have to be the hungriest player on that team, surely.
He's a bit skinny. He's trimmed down a lot.
Well, I think old Snags might have him done.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, there you go. Put him together. No one's hungry.
Yeah. What did you make of the pigeon putting off Matera going for goal?
50.
Dad and I went to the Hawthorn Essendon game, and there was a black and a white pigeon in the centre circle for most of the day. Obviously, there's a lot of ball ups. They didn't care. They weren't moving. I was just saying to them, they're not manning up, though. And then they moved down to the forward pocket. So it was so funny to go back on the Sunday. The pigeons just don't give a fuck.
No. Well, they put those wires over the top of the MCG to try and...
Don't give a fuck.
But
it used to be seagulls. Now it's just the pigeons.
Yeah, so seagulls dumb as shit. They just can't figure out the whole wire system. Pigeons like, I got this.
And they just don't care about the footing. You couldn't hit a fucking bar. Yeah.
See, I'm just waiting to put falcons up there. And then halfway through the game, you see this pigeon fucking about, and this falcon just fucking strikes.
Peregrine falcon fucking dive down, grab it, and take it away.
Yeah, well, they've got them in the city, and it's fucking great.
Yeah, they do, actually. Yeah.
They've only got the fake eagles up the top.
Yeah, that's a bit shit.
I reckon, too.
But
Anyway.
Oh, I did see. Did you see the Twitter from Richmond?
About Pidgey.
About Pidge, yeah. You know, it's more than it should have been 50.
Squab of the week, they called it. But anyway, Richmond just did whatever they wanted when they wanted. Made it look a little bit too easy at times.
But I just, I don't see Ross Lyon winning with this game plan. And the game plan that's gone back to 2010.
Well, I think that they have a different mindset at home than they have away. I can't see them getting many away wins this year.
What? Don't assault people?
That was Christmas. Christmas time, these things happen. Saints in Melbourne at Etihad. God, Saints can't take a trick.
Saints are shit, let's be honest.
Yeah, I'm not.
Fucking Paddy McCart.
Oh, Jesus.
Man. Has a diabetes test, has to go sit on the bench.
Yeah.
Then he has a head knock, gets cleared, and then he has whiplash. Mate, don't play.
No, no,
footy
exactly.
Footy is not for you.
Seems like the sort of bloke that would go for a piss and zip up his balls.
Yeah, yeah, he'd have a something about Mary's moment. Yeah.
I wonder what his education's like, because he's going to need to rely on that pretty soon, I reckon.
I tell you what, I don't care what it was like. He's probably forgotten half of it.
Yeah.
Old Frank and Beans, yeah.
Oh, the Saints, they're just in no man's land. They? Like, they're not really going through a rebuild, and they're not going through progress. Well, like, what do they do?
It's got to the point that the media is now asking for Hail Marys. They should offer Clarkson a Godfather deal, was what they said. There's only one problem with that. Saints haven't got the money.
Yeah,
they're fucking losing money hand over fist and got debt coming out of their ass.
Well, this wasn't it was a smart move going out to Seaford and then going, well, why the fuck are we all out here and then coming back into St Kilda?
They did say that. They said, well, look, you know, if we want to be a family club, we should get rid of our pokies. And then all of a sudden they come out saying, yeah, we can't afford to get rid of our pokies. Yeah.
Can we not yet? Like, yeah. I mean, we want to.
Well, it's on our to-do list, well, but it, not yet.
Yeah, it is a lot of a problem. I wonder that how do you curb the spending of clubs so that they don't have to earn on the other side of it?
Yeah.
Because you got even the clubs that aren't using pokies, they run other businesses.
Yeah.
Football should be their business.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
Whatever they need to do should be funded by football.
Yeah.
But it's not. They have to go do other things because the expenditure that they need to outlay is so fucking great.
Yeah.
And also the prize money week to week isn't big.
No.
You get gate fees at best.
Yeah, but what they get through gate fees and memberships and, you know, their share of the TV rights, that should fund them. But if they went to that, then they'd have to cut their budgets by half.
Yeah. Well, the key part of that is the share of the TV rights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, what was it, $2 billion or whatever it was last time around?
Something like that. Yeah, something like $800 odd million a year.
Yeah. Anyway, that was my little thought on that.
They need is Bernie Eccleston to come in.
This is another one. I like Melbourne's away Guernsey. It goes back to the old school lighter blue.
It looks pretty cool, doesn't it?
Well, we just trashed St Kilda on that one, but Melbourne did what they had to do.
Yeah, Petraka's getting up there, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Yep. He is a built lad.
Yeah, even Jesse put away 3 goals and got plenty of touches. So
I'm telling you, in a couple of years, Jesse Hogan's going to do pinch hitting in the middle.
Yeah.
It's going to be fucking scary.
Yep.
Well, hopefully he plays like a Richo style up the ground when he needs to, or a Revolt style. Yeah. Because he's got the gas tank.
He's got the tank. He doesn't have the burst of speed, but God damn, he can move.
Probably pretty cleanly skills too.
Well, it's hard to find backmen that can run with him and compete with him in the air and compete with him shoulder to shoulder.
And with the banter.
Yeah. Brayshaw had a good one, but fucking Clayton Oliver. A little bit too unselfish.
Yep.
Only the 28 handballs to go with his 8 kicks. 8 fucking kicks.
Just padding out stats, isn't it, really?
Jesus, mate.
And Max Gorn again, showing that he's probably number one for All-Australian again.
I'm prepared to call it. It's done.
Yeah.
He's the All-Australian ruckman.
Yeah, now that Nat Nui's probably out.
Yeah. He was doing okay, but, you know, Brody Grundy was doing well as well. And Sean Grigg, you know, set out this week, obviously. All right, on to match of the fucking round. Brisbane Lions versus Collingwood. I think everybody was absolutely transfixed by this and watching it during the end.
I didn't start watching until Josh sent a message saying, go the Lions. Yeah.
I felt heartbroken for them.
Yeah, so did
I. Was that last goal, you're like,
come on.
That's terrible. That's killing Bambi.
Yep. Especially I think it was about the 3-minute mark. They had the ball in their forward line.
Yeah,
I think it was one where they went deep and when they were down by a point and Christensen picked it up and I thought, just dribble. That's all you need to do is put it in the goal square. And I think he tried to kick the goal as he was getting pushed off balance in the wet.
By two players when McCluggage was open and so was Sinclair.
He didn't have to think about where I'm putting it. It's just dribble this along the ground. It's not going to make the distance. And you had others that were going to run onto it. It was all over. But split second.
Well, he had three of those attempts in the last quarter. And look, he hits one, they win.
Yeah, I thought he had a good game too.
He did.
Yeah.
And look, I don't begrudge the guy having the crack.
Yeah.
But you got to pull off at least one.
But such effort. Like we said, Brisbane Lions are 0-7. They've had probably five or six good games where they've given themselves a chance.
Yeah, yeah. And Zorko's best game for the season.
After having a couple of shockers.
Yeah. Jeez, and obviously getting towed up by where it was and not even shaking his hand in the game.
Yeah.
Turn around and pull this sort of performance is a good turn.
Against Gold Coast, that one.
Yeah.
From memory.
Yeah.
Beams looking good too.
Hey, 20 goals, 3 collectively at halftime.
Wow. Jesus.
The most accurate halftime score in the history.
So the Gabba's a top AFL ground.
Must be.
Well, in fairness, doesn't get a lot of traffic, I suppose.
I guess not.
Yeah.
But old mate, side bottom too. 34 touches. He's in career best form by far.
By far. Yeah.
He's having a great few rounds.
Yep.
Going to be interesting. I don't think Pendlebury's going to be out for long. He might even play this week.
Yeah, I think he got cleared, pretty sure.
Yeah, they said it was a bruised ankle. Yeah. But he might rest, you know, just because he's fucking Pendlebury. But if he...
NBA Finals, that's why.
Well, maybe. If he doesn't play, it'll be great to see. All right, side bottom, you're in charge.
Yeah. See what he says.
And also, we did give Brody Grundy a bit of a bump up before, but Stephen Martin took him to town,
didn't he?
Yeah.
What a beast!
28 touches as a ruckman.
Yeah,
that's golden every day of the week.
Absolutely.
Plus 24 hitouts. Although I think Grundy might have got a few more. Grundy got 39 hitouts, but around the ground, Martin was just a beast.
And that's what they needed too, because when they had the get out of jail kick. You know, you had a target in Martin.
Yeah.
He took some nice grabs, but other times, you know, he wasn't going to get beaten in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
But it seems like he's finally winding back the clock a couple of years, because a couple of years back, he was right in the All-Australian discussion.
Yeah. When it comes to Rising Star, gee, Stevenson's going to give it a shake this year.
Yeah, for sure.
He's already got his nod.
Yep. And he's, I mean, he's just showing promise that a lot of, like, was it Parrish that they had, young guy up forward? Darcy Moore, yeah. He seems like he's picked up his sort of momentum and has taken it.
And Darcy Moore's struggled again to come back in.
Yeah.
But Stevenson, he's just an absolute force.
Mm.
You can't but help admire his enthusiasm and his hunger for it.
Yeah, kick the stealer as well.
Yeah.
I did like Lewis Taylor's game, though. Like, especially in the last half.
He looked dangerous, didn't he? Every time he touched the ball, he looked dangerous.
Yeah, and
I think 4, I
think. 4-2. And he was just hungry all game.
Yeah.
It was very Boomer-esque. Except he did handball.
Not often. Not enough.
18 times, but, you know, probably 16 more than Boomer actually would have.
Whatever.
But, and Jordan Ngoi, for a bloke who is actually on the unsigned list for next year. I've been keeping track of these.
Yep.
5-2. Jeez, he's done his price no harm.
Fucking pushing it up for you guys.
Had a bit of a Stevie J moment this year, they reckon, you know, with his pre-season fucking abouts.
Yep.
But now he's back in the side. Geez, Collingwood look different. I'm glad Hawthorn played Collingwood in round 1 because, you know, they look good now. And, you know, beating the bottom or second bottom side by only a goal, I don't think is a disgrace because they played damn well.
Brisbane showed up that game. That's what I think. I mean, it just sucks given Collingwood praise in defeat when they got pumped last week and then praise them in a loss against a win, slow win against the top.
Well, it is one of those tight seasons, though. Like, this was A-level Brisbane. Like, this is their best game I've seen in probably the last three seasons.
This is, look, 121 versus 114. This is up there. If it's not game of the year, it's top two.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. That's how good that game was. And that was Brisbane v Collingwood.
But it was one of the ones where all game, it was exciting.
Yeah. Exactly. And I was glad it would have been the most anticipated upset if they did get up. But, yeah, it was like Bambi getting shot at the end.
Yeah, ruined my fucking tips. I actually tipped Brisbane.
Did you?
I wanted an upset.
Did you tip North?
No.
You fucking deserved it. Fucking deserved it. I picked 8 this week because I didn't pick North. Anyway. All right, on to round 8. Friday night, Hawthorn versus Sydney. Hanbury's already been ruled out, and Buddy's listed as 50-50, which means he's guaranteed to play.
Yep, at the MCG as well. I mean, Hawks playing good. It's going to depend on if Buddy comes back into the side, I think.
Hawks are playing okay.
Yeah, Swans are playing shit.
Well, I mean, they're playing better if Buddy comes back.
Yeah.
But Hawks might have won a couple recently, but they beat Essendon, who are terrible. They beat St Kilda, who are terrible. And Melbourne played the worst game they've played all year against them.
Yeah.
So even though Hawthorn are sitting fourth, I'm still not confident they'll make finals.
The touch of death. They just kill teams.
I think their midfield's gutted. Like, Hanbury's still out. Kennedy had a decent match last game, but...
He was a killer the week before.
Yeah, but Parker got absolutely towelled by Jacobs, and I think they'll need to reintroduce him to football.
Well, so, they had to run Parker as a full forward for half the fucking game.
Yeah.
Just to try and give him an option.
Jacob's got 30 touches. If you're a tagger and get that, you're fucking loving life.
Exactly.
But I actually think Hawthorn are in here.
Yeah, I'm going the upset that's not an upset.
Yeah,
I mean, it's one of those. Betting man's favourite at the moment. So.
One of those ones that at the G, I think Hawthorn are a better side at the G for a start.
Friday night, too. Yeah, they should turn up, yeah.
Yeah, this is Hawthorn's first game against an interstate side as well. We played seven Melbourne sides, and now we play seven interstate sides in a row.
Yeah. In Melbourne.
Yeah, we've played outside of Melbourne once.
In Tasmania?
Yep.
How far away is Poppy?
Weeks.
A couple of weeks?
Still two or three.
But Will Langford's available, so that'll be handy.
He was a late out this week, actually, I think. He was laid out for Whitecross, and I prefer Whitecross, actually. I'm a big fan of Whitecross.
To be fair, so I want to like Langford, but I wouldn't have faith in him.
He had that one September, and that's all he needs.
Well, look, there's plenty of people who'd buy him a beer for that.
Yeah. No, I would. Giants and the Eagles at Spotless Stadium. It's hard to pick the Giants. Assuming Nick Nat plays.
Yeah, I think if he doesn't.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where I can see Eagles. Looking at every line, I see a player that I think is more dangerous than the equivalent Giant.
At the moment, yeah.
As it stands.
Yeah.
Playing
in such poor form, the Giants.
Yeah, I do think, too, matching up the coaches, I think Simpson's got the edge.
Yeah, at the minute he does.
Yeah, well, he's shown his ability to innovate, you know, with the West Coast web and the whole... He's one of those coaches that will try shit. Yep. He will try and be ahead of the curve, whereas I don't think Cameron has. I think he's just... He's still coaching for the last premiership instead of trying to find the next one.
I think he's got supreme talent in his side that isn't organised.
Mm. Yeah, completely. I think...
that's the way it's going.
If they had an A-level coach, like, you know, throw whatever name up you want, they'd be a much more dangerous side.
Mark Harvey.
A-level motherfucker.
Carlton versus Essendon at the MCG.
I'm on Carlton.
Do you remember a couple of years ago Carlton played Frio over at Subiaco, and it was the worst
yet
the best game ever?
Yep.
That's what I'm hoping for.
I'm hoping Carlton thump them.
This is Carlton's grand final.
Essendon's grand final.
Well, no, the way it's going, I can't see Carlton beating Brisbane, but I can see them beating Essendon.
That's the kind of thing, like, even when Essendon were up and about, you know, 10, 15 years ago, and Carlton were 15th, for some reason they'd come up and beat Essendon or draw them. I'm tipping our first nil-all draw.
Well, it's like, when I think about it, in the ruck, Cruiser, like...
Oh, Bell Chambers killed it last week. You know what? That'll be a great matchup.
I'm still edging Cruiser.
Normally,
you're going to piss down rain all weekend too. So.
I hope so.
Yeah, pretty sure.
Make this game as sloppy as possible.
Pretty sure. Yeah,
with terrible weather. I would have agreed with you, except that I watched Bell Chambers last week and I was so impressed.
Yep.
He went back it up twice.
Pretty sure it's going to be like 19 and 90% chance of rain on Saturday. So I reckon it's going to be the
worst game of the season.
Yes, Carlton's young kids just playing. I don't know. Move it forward, ball.
Yeah.
Is Kerno back? Charlie Kerno.
I think so, but I'm not 100%. Obviously, Levi's out.
Yeah, yeah. Casbolt won't be playing.
It's a win.
They might float Liam Jones down forward.
Ooh, let's not get too fucking carried away right now. I really hope Kerno is back in, because as a spectacle, he is one that can provide that X factor.
I'd like to see Carlton win, yeah. But I think I have to tip Essendon.
Soft.
Suns and the Demons.
At the Gabba.
I want an excuse to tip the Suns, but Demons are in form.
Is this the first time Suns gone back home after come off games, or have they played it before?
Their home is Metricon.
Metricon.
Not the Gabba. So I don't know why. I would have thought Metricon would have been ready by now.
Yeah.
Should be.
Yeah, but anyway.
Well, yeah, I think Melbourne will get across the line this one. Suns, just they're not giving you much. It's hard to pick them.
Big Maxi Dawn's going to have an absolute fucking field day in this one.
He'll have an absolute bath. He'll love life.
Just quietly, is he a chance for the Brownlow?
I want to say yes, but the problem I have with the Brownlow is that umpires, I think, are worried about looking stupid sometimes.
So they pick the safe option?
Yeah, at the end of the match, if you put three votes Gary Ablett, even if you're umpiring, you know, Melbourne versus Western Sydney or whatever, no one's going to call you an idiot. It's like the one.
Still might.
For that one, they probably would. Yeah. But it's like the one where no one got fired for hiring IBM in the same way that no one ever got called an idiot for giving, you know, Gary Ablett or whoever.
Most possessions on the day. But Ruckman still have a chance at the midfielder's medal. But anyway.
Moderately. I would love to see it just for the fact that it wasn't a midfielder.
And it was Maxi.
I feel like the umpires have too much to do already, so they shouldn't be doing
that. Well, that's just it too. Like, throughout the whole match, you know, there's so much scrutiny at every decision. They're not going to remember. They're not going to sit down at quarter time and go, "Oh, who's in front so far?"
At the end of the day, though, I don't trust the All Australian Selection Committee. So how are they going to go with a fucking Brownlow?
Let Kane Corns do it.
Yeah.
Richmond pumped Frio, and none of them get in any votes.
Funny though, I was watching that game. My two best players were Frio players. Anyway, so
sharpen up, lads.
Melbourne all round. Showdown at Twilight on Saturday.
Ooh. Twilight, that means nothing.
Oh, shit. Everything says that Crows should absolutely belt it in, which means that it's probably going to be.
I think the Crows have won the last five or six as well. Don't quote me on that, but.
Yeah, they've won the last three.
That'll do. They've won the last few. So you'd hope that Port come out with some fire. So I'm hoping to see a bit of Biff in this one.
Yeah, I hope so. Maybe this is a full-on halftime brawl. Make it interesting.
Yeah, because I'll give you a tip. The Saturday night games aren't going to be that interesting, so I'm hoping this is a good one.
Is Tech still out?
I do not know.
That'll be interesting. If he's in, I'm actually on Adelaide, but otherwise, I think Port for an upset.
Port for an upset. Brenton?
Adelaide, yeah.
Yeah, I think Adelaide. They might have Sloan back. Bullies and the Lions at Etihad Stadium. God, if the Lions got a taste last week, this could be their chance.
I'm on the Lions.
I think there's some more injury worries down at the Bullies. If Bontempelli, I think he'll line up, but if he doesn't...
Well, it's his hip, though. Well, that affects not just your running speed, but your ability to take a hit.
Oh, your ability to train?
Yeah, that too. Yeah. He'll still have his nice handball and nice kick and everything, but he's not going to have... Oh, his kick will be affected too, come to think of it.
Of course it will, yeah.
But you know, you're not going to have the speed, not going to have the body contact ability.
But if he plays, somebody's got to look after him, you know what I mean? Yep. So it still takes a good player out of the Lions. But yeah, I mean, geez, I'd like to say Lions, but the Bullies, they've got to string it all back together sooner or later, don't they?
Yeah, I think the Bullies will just be a bit too much over four quarters.
Well, I'm on the Lions just because this is their best 22. Yeah, and this is probably only about 15 of the Bulldogs' best 22 are going to be out there.
Frio are at home to the Saints. Leave that.
Well, that, yeah.
I think the Saints lost Longer.
Yep.
He's done. Fuck. They're all thoughts.
And they've lost McCartan.
Yep.
North and Richmond at Etihad Stadium on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to this game with Mum and taking the wife and kids as well.
Yep.
I did say we might go a little bit early so we can have Mother's Day lunch at Juggies.
No.
Wife, not that keen on it. But I did say, look, what did you have for lunch last year? You don't remember, do you? What did you have the year before? You don't remember. It'll be 10 years before you forget lunch at Juggies.
It should be top two out of the waitresses there too. There's not much going on.
I feel like we've given them more free advertising than they've ever spent.
Yeah. But I don't think it really matters.
Yeah, I'm not actually recommending people go there.
I'm recommending people read the Facebook page and then make their own decisions.
Yeah. One of the funniest things for this match for me is that Jared Wade apparently is out with soreness. I'm like, mate, Mason would kick four and then win it. You ain't coming back. He just doesn't want to play VFL.
Yeah, that's probably it. I think he might actually come back in and just go, you know what, fuck it, we'll flood our own forward line. All you bastards can try and kick one. Rance versus Benny Brown, what a matchup.
Be good, yeah. I feel like you have Asprey coming across and helping out on that one. I don't think it'll be a wild one.
As he does.
Yeah, they'll have to, but then does that open up Wood, which is going to be an interesting part.
Yeah.
The way that Scott coaches this one would be very interesting because I'd like to see the man-on-man again.
Yeah.
The only problem is Richmond are so fit and run so hard that, you know, he might try it for a quarter and go, you know what, fuck that.
Well, I'm going to go into bat for Scott because he's out-coached his opposition the last few weeks.
He's done well. Mm. You got to say, and his players have backed him up.
Yeah,
they have. They've kept to their structures. And they've done this thing where they actually kick to where the player's going to be.
Well, not just keeping to their structures, they've kept to their roles and done it well.
Actually, there was one particular incident where Mason Wood is running away from Robbie Tarrant when he's kicking the ball in, and button hooks back. So the ball's in the air before he's even turned back.
Yeah.
And he's found Mason Wood in space. That's the level of integration where you want to see it.
You see it so often with players too when they're running back towards goal and they'll just point.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
And then they do the little button hook. It's great.
How often does the kicker pay attention to that? And just the fact that Robbie Tarrant, he shouldn't be up that far from the fucking start.
He did look like he snuck forward a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah, he's been a bit fucking cheeky.
Good on him.
But
you got a tip though?
Oh, I'm on Richmond because last time I tipped Sydney, North won, so fuck it. I'm running with my bad
going
luck.
The Mots?
Yep, I'm going Richmond.
Yeah, I think the Tigers. And finally, Collingwood and the Cats at the MCG. Geez, they're a chance. They're a chance, but Gaz should be back for this one.
Yeah, I think they're a better chance if it's wet and shitty weather.
Yeah.
But I still feel like Geelong will have too much for them.
No Hawkins might actually open things up for Geelong.
Yep. Mm. Yep. You're going to send someone else in there.
Radagalia if he's ready. But if it is wet, you know, the big Radagalia might not be a good move.
Yeah.
Goddamn Kelly, Duncan, Ablett, Selwood, Dangerfield. There's a lot to cover in there.
Yep. Still got,
so yeah. I hope that Collingwood roll the dice and just go, you know what, fuck it, let's run.
They have to, yeah.
Just play straight up.
Yep.
Yep.
I think they match up well because I don't see them curbing Grundy.
No. Yeah, I think that's where they are vulnerable.
It's going to be pretty shitty weather though, so it might not be as big influence as it would be on a clear day.
Well, it might also mean a lot of stoppages.
Yeah,
you
true.
Never know. Mm. Cats?
I don't want to, but I'm tipping Collingwood.
Going for a lot of upsets. I like it. It's brave.
That's it.
It's big prices.
Home team.
Yep. Roll them up in a multi.
Yep. All right, that'll do us for round 8.
Right. Good luck, peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.